Hi, welcome everyone. Thanks for the introduction. My name is Florian Ladenschlager. I'm a guest researcher at the University of Erlangen-Nürnberg. My supervisor, Michael Philipson, is also attending the session. So let me start with a few facts about the domain of anomaly detection. Anomaly detection matters. It's important to understand the anomalies in a software system's behavior close to their occurrence, today more than ever. There are various kinds of anomalies. Some affect the resource consumption, for example, the memory or a CPU. Others occur from time to time, like blocking stats or deadlocks. And there are also security issues, for example, port scanning activities. And if such anomalies are not detected close to their occurrence, well, that's bad for your reputation or your wallet. The problem is that the detection is not a handy task. It's complex. Software systems are complex nowadays. They consist of multiple components, use different technologies, and communicate with different transport protocols. But some intelligent people already built toolchain to collect, store, and analyze the required data. And we call that required data operational data. And we differ between three types. There are metrics, which are numeric values, for example, a counter, events, which are single occurrences, for example, a user logs in, and there are traces that are sequences within a software call, for example, the called methods. If you look closer to a typical toolchain for collecting such operational data, we have on the left a collection framework that collects the operational data from time to time, so for example, every second. And therefore, time series are a great representation to store the operational data. And this, the toolchain uses a time series database to store the operational data. On the right, we have an analysis framework that asks the database for data in order to analyze them and to detect anomalies. So everything fine, isn't it? No. So the collection framework can use domain-specific sensors and adapters. The analysis framework, too, it also can use domain-specific analysis and algorithms. But the toolchains use a general-purpose time series database that do not optimize for the needs of the domain, in our case, the anomaly detection operational data. And therefore, in some tasks, a generic-purpose time series database is a breakthrough, a resource hog, or a productivity obstacle. So, but what is the solution? The solution is simple. Just plug in a domain-specific time series database, and all your problems are gone. And Chronix is such a domain-specific time series database. Let me explain the drawbacks in some more detail using the example of Graphite, InfluxDB, OpenTSDB, KairosDB, and Prometheus. We have three main requirements: a generic data model, analysis support, and lossless long-term storage capabilities. If you look closer to the generic data model, we can see that none of the general purpose time series databases fulfill the requirement. The reason is that they do not support data types, which is a productivity obstacle. For example, if we use OpenTSDB and we want to store our operational data, we have to encode all the different types of operational data in a metric type. If you look closer to the analysis support, it's the same. All general-purpose time series databases provide a rich set of functions, but there are mainly basic functions such as aggregations, maximum, minimum, average, and so on. But it's not enough for the domain, so we need high-level functions that especially target the needs of the domain. And therefore, that's a productivity obstacle, as we have to implement missing functions by our own to use them later. And furthermore, it's a breakthrough, as we have to do this on the side of the client, we have to use multiple queries, we have to read the data multiple times, and so on and so on. It is better if you look at the lossless long-term storage capabilities, except for Graphite, which is kicked out to its round-robin storage, and Prometheus, as Prometheus is designed as a short-term storage without scaling support, and there are minor things like there is no public API to store points, so it's a framework. But also, the remaining three time series databases have a too high memory footprint, too high storage demand, and therefore sometimes you cannot store enough data and loss historical data. So there's a performance hog and a breakthrough in some tasks. And with Chronix, we address all the three main requirements, and of course, we fulfill all requirements. So, the point is there is no silver bullet. So there are many points where we exploit domain-specific characteristics. So in our case, there are 7 bullets that turns Chronix into a domain-specific time series database. The first bullet is an option to pre-compute an X-ray representation of the data in order to speed up specific analysis. The second bullet is an optional timestamp compression for almost periodic time series. Then Chronix uses records that meets the needs of the domain. It uses a compression technique, a lossless compression technique. We have an underlying multi-dimensional storage. Chronix provides a domain-specific queries language with server-side evaluation. And the last bullet is a domain-specific commissioning that configures the parameters of bullet 2, 3, and 4 in order to make Chronix even more domain-specific to work it best for a given domain. So now let me take you on the walk that the sensor data takes from its source in the application to its reappearance in a query. So we start with a typical time series. It's almost periodically. Each line represents a measurement at a given time and a value, and there are also attributes that describe the measurement. For example, the metric, the process, and the host. So time for bullet number 1, an option to pre-compute data to speed up analysis. This means that Chronix adds a new representation of the raw data. It doesn't remove, aggregate the raw data in any kind. To do so, Chronix offers a programming interface for adding an extra domain-specific representation. For example, sex. Sex can easily be used to detect pattern in time series, and therefore we can speed up analysis that checks for pattern in time series. So that's the reason for the pre-computed data. The second bullet is an optional timestamp compaction. In the domain of anomaly detection operational data, it's good enough to have approximate timestamps for almost periodic time series. So why? Because of jitter from network latency and processing times. Collection framework periodically collects the operational data. But due to the jitter, it is not. It is non-periodic. And this jitter can be removed without losing any relevant information. And we call this the date delta compaction. And it makes Chronix a functional lossless storage as it keeps all the relevant details. And the tolerable degree of inaccuracy, the DDC threshold, you can set the threshold. And therefore, it's a configuration parameter of the bullet number 7. Let me explain the delta compaction with a little example. So it takes the time steps into account. It first calculates the deltas. Well, that saves space. It's obvious that deltas are cheaper to save than a full timestamp, and therefore we can save space. We then compute the differences between the deltas, and there we can see the jitter in the timestamps. We then remove the differences that are below a threshold and save even more space. And during the whole process, the delta compaction checks if the accumulated drift is below a threshold. If it is above, it stores a correcting delta instead. So we have an upper bound of inaccuracy. So let's step back out of the details of the delta compaction to a time series that is now jitter-free and where the timestamps are compacted. What do we see or know about the domain's data, or even about the domain? We know that anomaly detection tasks need blocks rather than lines. We see that the values only have small increments, there are recurring patterns, and so on, and some compression techniques work better than others. And there are many values that are repetitive. For example, each line has the attributes that describes a measurement. And bullet number 3, records exploit all these facts. A record is simply the attributes of a chunk, the start and end of a chunk, the type of a chunk, and the data chunk itself. And the record is simply a set of key value pairs. So if you want to encode the attributes in order to remove the repetitive values, we encode each column once. So each column is represented in one key value pair. For example, the metric column is simply only one pair of key is the metric and value is inches or time. Then we take the whole time series and split them up into chunks, for example, 10,000 points, and store them in the data field of a record as binary large object. And to, in order to find a chunk, we also save the end and the start as well of the type of the data within the data within the blob. And Chronix again offers a programming interface to encode a time series into specific records, and therefore the chunk size is again a configuration parameter of the bullet number 7. Then Chronix takes the records and applies the lossless compression technique. As already mentioned, the domain's data often has small increments and recurring patterns and so on. And a lossless compression technique exploits these facts in order to minimize the record size and reduce the index size. And you can plug in any compression technique you want, for example, GZIP, LZ4, or Snappy. And therefore, the choice is again a compression technique. The choice of the compression technique is again a configuration parameter of the bullet number 7. The next bullet is the underlying multi-dimensional storage. It is also document oriented as the design of a record, and a document is similar and we have less transformation effort. So what are the further benefits of storing such records? The first benefit is that we can do an explorative analysis. That means all attributes are visible to the storage and are indexed. And we can use any combination within of the attributes within a query to find a record. The second one is a correlating analysis. So what is correlating? It means to us, it means we can combine any types of data within one query. So we can, as the query on the slide shows, we can ask for records that have type of metric or that stores trace type without needing two queries. So that also saves time. The domain-specific query language offers not just basic functions. It also offers high-level built-in domain-specific functions that are all evaluated close to the data on the server side in order to increase the processing performance. And as such a list could never be complete, Chronix offers a plugin interface to add new functions. And now let me explain the benefits of the server-side evaluation with a simple example. We want to detect outliers, and we use the outlier definition of a box plot that uses the first and the third quantile. With Chronix, Chronix is shown on the left, the sequence diagram. We can see that Chronix only needs one query, read and processes data once, and ships the result once. And the reason is that Chronix provides a high-level function that does this for us. With a general-purpose time series database, at least we need two queries. We have to read the data twice, we have to process the data twice, and we have to ship the result twice. And we need extra code. So why? So the first query selects the first and the third quantile. Then we calculate the threshold. That's the point where we need extra code. And then the second query that filters a time series for outliers. So with Chronix, we achieve more programming comfort and faster results. So it's time to stick it all together. Doing so for the best storage efficiency and query performance, we must find the best values for the delta compaction threshold, the chunk size, and the compression. We have the data of 5 industry projects that in common hold about 4 billion pairs of timestamp and value in about 38,000 time series. The first 3 projects are used to find the best configuration values. We call this commissioning, and project 4 and 5 are used for the evaluation. The time series are collected with an interval from 1 to 60 seconds and hold the data of metric types, events, and traces. The first step of the commissioning is to find the best value for the delta compaction. Therefore, we have measured the inaccuracy rate. This is the percentage of points that are compacted. The average deviation, this is the amount a reconstructed point differs from its origin. And the storage demand, this is the graph shown with the name space reduction. We can deal with a growing DDC threshold, the inaccuracy rate in the average deviation grows, and the storage demand drops. Well, that's obvious. Remember the sampling interval of 30 seconds. We defined that the average deviation should be below 1% of the origin sampling interval. And with a DDC threshold of 200 milliseconds, we were hitting this limitation, and therefore, it's our best value. We do not only have the operational data of the industry projects, we also have the query mix that analyzes the data. And we have grouped them and counted them. R indicates the range in days, and Q the number of queries within a range. And this query mix with about 96 queries of different ranges are used to select the ideal compression technique and chunk size in terms of query runtimes. We have run the query mix 20 times and measured the total times of all queries. We run the query mix for three lossless compression techniques, GZIP, LZ4, and Snappy, and with different chunk sizes. And we can see a bar tube curve, which is the expected behavior. So with very small chunks, we have to ship many chunks when we ask for large ranges. If we store large chunks, we load too much data if we ask for a small range. So somewhere in the middle is the answer. And for our query mix, the lowest access times are around 128 kbytes. And GZIP kicks out LZ4 and Snappy. And the reason is that the compression rate of GZIP is so high that the chunks are so small, and they are shipped so fast that the decompression time doesn't pay in. So time for the evaluation. So we have discussed the domain-specific bullets of chronics, and we have talked about how to find the best values for the delta compression, compaction, the chunk size, and the compression technique. For the evaluation, again, we use the projects 4 and 5 and the query mix of the project 4 and 5. The query mix differs from the first one in terms of ranges and query occurrences, and we also have queries that use basic functions as well as high-level functions. So what did we compare? We compared the memory footprint, the storage demand, the data retrieval times, and the query mix run times for InfluxDB, OpenTSDB, KyrusDB, and, of course, for chronics. The first comparison is the memory footprint. We measured the memory footprint shortly after the startup, where our processes are up and running, the maximum during the import and the maximum during the query mix. One can see that OpenTSDB and KyrusDB clearly takes the most memory. The reason are the underlying technologies, HBase and Cassandra. InfluxDB has a lower memory footprint, but takes 34% more than Chronix. So in total, Chronix has a 34 to 69% smaller memory footprint than the general purpose time series databases. The next comparison is the storage demand. In total, the project's data takes 108 gigabytes serialized as CSV data. Again, OpenTSDB and KyrusDB have the higher storage demand. InfluxDB is great and only takes 10.9 gigabytes, but Chronix again saves 20% of InfluxDB and therefore saves 20 to 68 in total of the storage space compared to the general purpose time series databases. Now to the data retrieval times. These are the queries that ask for ranges of data. We have run the query mix 20 times. And as Chronix is designed to store chunks, we can see an enormous difference of the data retrieval times compared to the general purpose time series databases. Furthermore, Chronix is optimized for reads. As in the domain of anomaly detection, reads matters more than writes. And as a result, Chronix saves 80 to 92% on the data retrieval times compared to the general purpose time series databases. The last comparison is the query mix runtime. So that are the queries that use basic or high-level functions. And now it's different. InfluxDB is the fastest time series database when it comes to aggregations, as it uses kind of pre-aggregated values. And one can see that that the processing performance of Chronix is higher than InfluxDB. For example, if we take a look at the percentile calculation, where InfluxDB takes 10 seconds and Chronix only 8.6. But what is more important for the domain of anomaly detection are high-level functions, such as detect outliers, detect a trend, and so on. And here again, Chronix shows its strengths. And in total, Chronix all up, so basic function, high-level functions in common, Chronix saves 33 to 97% of the runtimes of an analyzing query mix. So Chronix unleashes anomaly detection tasks. And as one can see, by only exploiting the domain-specific facts and using well-established and proven technologies that are configured well, one can achieve great performance results even nowadays. So thanks for your attention. Any questions?
Hi, I'm Mingzhi from University of Chicago. Appreciate your work. My question is, let's say I have a database with a huge amount of data, and now I want to adopt your technique. So what setup do I need to do, and how much overhead do I need to pay for this?
So you want to migrate your data to Chronix?
Yep, maybe.
Okay. And you want to know what is the effort or...
What's the overhead and effort that I need to pay?
Effort in what terms?
Cost? Maybe it's tricky.
Which cost? With dollars or time?
Dollars?
I don't know. Chronix is open source and you can use it for free. And dollars, I don't know if you... No figure for you.
Okay, so can I keep that on my original hardware setup, and or I can use your tool as an intermediate layer between my own database and my clients. Can I do that without migration? Can I use it?
I think the easiest solution is to split up the data traffic and send one to your database and one to Chronix, and that's the easiest migration.
Okay, thank you.
Irfan Ahmed, Cache Physics. Can you talk a little bit about the comparison of your system with Influx and others?
Can you please go closer to the microphone?
Kiss it, I guess. Can you talk a little bit about the comparison of your system versus Influx and others on the ingest path? How much more expensive are you for the various types of optimizations that you're doing in terms of being able to pull data into your database compared to others?
Well, we did not measure this. So Chronix is designed to store blobs. So we have the Chronix ingester that chunks up single points and stores them in Chronix. So I think that if you want read and write performance, InfluxDB or the other time series databases might, so the performance facts are different. And yeah, Chronix is optimized for storing chunks, and you have to do the trade-off for collecting them up. So as we see, we use very large chunks, and if you collect them with a collection framework with about 1 second, so that's a whole, that's about a half day, but 12 hours that contains a chunk of data. And yeah.
Thank you very much.